Praise God. Let's open our Bibles, Romans chapter 13. And as we get into this tonight, let's not forget how the Lord so encouraged us back there in even chapter 12. And He encouraged us with the reality of the power of Christ in us, the hope of glory, that life is a full overcomer life. That life, praise His name, is a life that has all of the backing to walk by faith. And I thank the Lord that we live in the victory that Christ won for us completely on the cross. I don't need to beg for it. I believe it. I thank God. Then I go and walk in it. The treasure, brothers and sisters, of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Just gives me chills every time thinking about that. When that reality, when that truth of His love reigns in us, we begin to yield, don't we? Amen. There's nothing else you want to yield to. The beauty of that love story, as Jesus said through Paul, know my love. Know the immensity of it, the depths and the height. Where the breadth, the length, all of the dimensions of my love for you. As that begins to take hold of our lives, brothers and sisters, we yield to that love. You'll change in nature. You will. Your desires change when you fall in love. We've said that even about our natural lives. I had buddies and then I fell in love. I had to kind of remember my buddies to be nice, but I didn't remember them too much when I fell in love. I just wanted to be with my first love. It wasn't that I didn't love my buddies anymore. It's just there was a love that overwhelmed everything. Took my time, captivated my thoughts. But see, when this love takes over, you begin to yield Christ in you. It's not you, it's Christ in you that yields. You understand that, amen? And when that yielding occurs, there's a peace that passes all understanding that you've been given that becomes real to you. And you begin to have what's called complete confidence in the Word of God. You know that that's your life. You know that that life of this wondrous Word is effectually working powerfully like dynamite in those that believe. It holds you, it keeps you, it sustains you, it lifts you, it motivates you, it does everything for you. Because by the grace of God, that's who lives in us, the Word of God. And I thank the Lord that it's in that confidence that we don't get rocked to and fro. We really don't. When we're not double-minded, we're stable. We stand upon that rock. We see through the truth what's going on. Amen? Amen? When we start to get rattled, we know what we're looking at. We're looking out through the eyes of man and not through the eyes of God. He's given us that vision. See, without a vision, the people perish. And where this is all going and where this will get to tonight as we begin this is we find out that everything is perfectly ordered for our lives. And not just perfectly ordered, but perfectly ordered for our good. Amen? And we know that it's ordered by the hand of God. So let's go ahead and let's read the first seven verses of chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Oh, let that ring in your heart. Let that ring and ring. Praise God. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject. See, there's a need for this. Not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Now, when this really settles in, that God is working it all together for your good, you'll begin to settle down in life. Yeah, there's a rest for the people of God, isn't there? And one way that you'll never enter into that rest, one way, unbelief. Unbelief. When we go in the way of unbelief, we don't rest. When you believe God, you can rest in a furnace. When you believe God, you can rest in a lion's den. When you believe God, you can be at rest when your family is completely turned against you, your brethren have sold you into slavery. Everything that you thought you were working to get ahead, even in that horrible situation, and yet the ungodly are turning on you, you can still be at rest. Amen. Now, what the Lord is getting at and encouraging us is how perfectly we are placed in every bit of our life. Every bit of our life. And I'm not just talking about who God has made you. I thank the Lord. I think we're finally getting that we understand that we are wonderfully and fearfully made, aren't we? There's an exact makeup of you that fits exactly to need God. All your downsettings and uprisings, your thoughts afar off, all the things that make you, in a sense, you, have been specifically set and perfectly ordered to need Him. But we thank the Lord that we can trust Him and believe Him, that He has placed us in this time and in this place, that even though this world is at such unrest, and the reason, by the way, this world is at unrest, and I'm speaking of Christians, is because God's precious people are entangled far more in the things of this world than entangled in the things of God. They're not in the Word. They don't know the Word. They're confused because the mind of Christ, the Word of God, is not reigning. Now, I love to remind us, I love to remind myself, thanks be to God, that I'm not of this world. I'm not. I'm an alien here, praise be to God. My citizenship is not here, it is in heaven. Never mind, I'll stop right there. I'll get myself in trouble. But even the more than that, God is over all. As we read here, there be no powers but from and of Him. And the Word of God says that He has set up whom He will and down whom He will. And that goes for every single power. Think of that. And what He's speaking of here is everything of every power, every governing body. So for kids, even your student council, believe it or not, God loves you so much. He's got the exact one that your student president that you can't stand. I don't know. Whatever. Learn to love. From all of that little stuff, all the way through your teachers, your counselors, and all the way up to even the president, the rulers of this world, God has divinely set everything up. And He puts up whom He will, and He puts down whom He will. And know this. And praise be to God, we need to quit fretting about things and learn to live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen? Let's go on over to Daniel chapter 2. And in Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, it says here about God. He changes the times and the seasons. Isn't that something? He changes the times and the seasons. That's what God does. He removes kings and he sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Aren't you thankful you know understanding? You know there's one place for understanding, don't you? It's the Word of God. And he'll give you knowledge in that. You have a desire to know the will of God, you'll know the will of God. Because that's his desire. That's his greatest desire, is that you would know him. Go on over to Psalm chapter 75. It only gets sweeter and gets better as the Lord encourages us in so many precious ways of his omnipotence. Now, Psalm 75, let's read verses 6 and 7. For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and sets up another. I don't think you need to get bent out of shape about elections, do you? I don't think you need to get bent out of shape about promotions in your business or who gets this or who's where that is. If you really believe God, you believe God does it all. He sets it all up, and he's got a divine purpose in this. And I praise God. I believe that we understand this. And now that it's understood, it says here that we obey what he has established in all powers. Did you hear that? You obey what he has established in all powers, because there be no power but of him and from him. Okay? This is going to go a little bit further here. And I think a lot of people need to hear this. Now, this isn't and doesn't mean that we would obey someone or some entity that tells us to be godless. I love that about the Hebrew children, Daniel. They revealed that to us. They lived in that. They lived in peace. They knew there was a lot of messed up folks there. But when they went out and said, look, you can't worship and you can't obey your God and all, that ain't happening. This is not what this is speaking of. So don't go there. But let's not turn worshiping the Lord into what he has told us to obey and establish as far as the things and the peoples and the entities that he's put into power. There's a very important relationship to that, and a relationship of us in harmony with God. See, the laws that we have in our societies, brothers and sisters, we need to live by. And that is the truth. The Word of God is telling us this. And by living by or establish them, we're obeying and yielding to God, since he was the one that put that authority up. Please receive this. Please receive this. I believe you are. But I have met folks. I remember this man. He was bent and determined. I can't remember the foolish name they called him, but he said, well, I don't need to pay taxes. That's not what God would want me to do. I'm free. I said, you dummy, you're going to be behind bars is what's going to happen to you. And he was acting godly, and he thought he could quote scriptures. And I just said, well, you're a fool. And the IRS came after him. And thanks be to God, he was spared from prison, but they stripped everything he had. And that was his choosing. God told you right here. Jesus, the I Am, he rendered unto Caesar what was Caesar's. And you know who set up Caesar? Jesus. So I want you to understand that. He set him up. He said, I'm going to set you up so I can pay taxes to you. Come on. But you get it. Seek peace with all men. You get caught up into that foolishness, you'll get away from the deep things of God, and you'll miss his best. And I thank the Lord that we have this with him. Praise God. Now, you don't like something? Instead of being unruly and even being unlawful, see, that's what's going on in this life now. If you don't like something, you just get unruly. And you read Romans 1 where we started. There's no conscience anymore. People don't care. They're lawless. They're not obeying laws. They're just, it's over. And I thank God, I'm looking up. He's coming. We'll get to that later on in this chapter. Praise the Lord. We have to get through this first. But see, the Lord warns here. He says it's damnation. Now, that's not meaning damnation, an eternal damnation. That means there's going to be judgment from the law. You don't obey the law, you're going to get in trouble. You could go to jail. And instead of getting in trouble, how about praying that God would give you this rest that he's over all? You know, I don't like some of the restrictions. I don't. I definitely don't like speed limits. No, I'm just kidding. But, not to be facetious about it, there's some things that I think are just way overreaching. We all know this, and it's getting worse. But God put us here for this time. And it's a difficult time as a Christian in knowing the liberty and the beauty. Especially, you know, and there's many in here that are older than I am. My kids don't understand the freedom that I even enjoyed. Fishing, hunting, the lands that I could used to go on. And now they're restricted and all of these different things. Well, you know, I could have a chip on my shoulder and say, well, I'm just hopping fences. Well, I'll hop right into the truck and it'll take me right to jail. And so that'd be pretty stupid. But there's a testimony in this. So, first of all, get it that God ordained it. And then second of all, if it's bothering you that much, if it be the will of the Lord, change it. So I love how Brother Copley says it. He says, mankind, listen to this, mankind is doing God's will, even though energized by Satan himself. I love that. What did Brother Copley say? You know, yeah, energized by Satan himself. Now, let's get into the scripture and be encouraged in this, because I love to encourage my heart like this. The sinner can't help do but what God has said he would do. I love that. You know, you read Romans 1, you say, yeah, man, that's you. That's channel 4 and 7 and 9, and this is that channel, and this is this party, and that party. It's all right there. And it doesn't get by anything. But the Lord has made all things for himself. He tells us in Proverbs 16:4 that he's even made the wicked for the day of evil. You want to be wicked? Line right up. God's got use for you. He knows. And he'll use you for that, just like he did with Pharaoh. Go on over to Isaiah 45:7. This will give you some sweet encouragement to your heart. He said there in Isaiah 45:7, he says, I form the light, and I create darkness. I make peace, and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Praise God! See, if you know the Lord and you know how beautiful he is and how wondrous is his powerful love, and that powerful love that's for us, you begin to rejoice and thank the Lord that he's created everything. Everything. And everything for exact defined purpose. He created that evil. Yes, he even created Lucifer. And all for his purpose. Let's just go on over. We have a little bit of time tonight. Colossians chapter 1. Over there in Colossians chapter 1. And let's read verses here. Let's read 16 and 17. It says, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. And I'll put it in here. And all things were created for him. So do you now see that this is all incorporated into absolute perfection, brothers and sisters? Mentioned it earlier, not only the details of you, not only your personality, your traits, your DNA, but even the environment around us, brothers and sisters, it's absolute perfection. I thank God to have that knowledge and divine love that he has for me, that he set all of this up for one thing. And I take this personally, for me to win him, for you to win him. He did that. He does that just for one. You got to get that. You people out there, oh, God wouldn't. Let me tell you something. He will do that. He will seek out that goodly pearl, and he'll torch cities. I'm serious. You touch the ones he loves, even if you're a kid. Let me tell you something. He'll send bears out. Matter of fact, she bears. Just rip you. Rip you. I better stop there. But this is God. He does not think like we do. And we do not think like he does, naturally speaking. And he is a passionate lover beyond the definition of passion that you could ever even understand. And the purpose of what he wants for you. And if you'll receive that, I'll tell you, you'll be like one of these worthies of faith, but even a better thing. They were set and set apart for us to understand what and how sanctified we can be to God. That set apart vessel only for the master's use. You are not touching any. No one's touching you. You're mine. You are mine alone. You're mine exclusively. And that's you if you'll let him tell you and show you. So now we get to verse 8. It's going back to Romans. I still believe all of that was about love. But in case you didn't think it was, he's going to hone in on love now again. Can you imagine that about God? Yep. So he says all of that about the powers that be. Verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now, Romans 8:2 told us that the law is the spirit of life in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? The law is the spirit of life that is in Jesus Christ. And praise be to God, that life, that law, that spirit of Christ is in us. Amen? And Romans 8:2 goes on to say that because of that, we have been freed from the law of sin and death. See, that's so beautiful. So now we're free from all of that. We have the new law of the spirit of life of Christ in us. And you think about what's in Christ. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. God is love. All these things, these beautiful, not just traits, but the actual life of Christ himself, hallelujah, has come to live in us. So here I have encouragement like none other. And praise be to God, when that love and that life love lives in us, the law is going to be established or testified through us. Amen? When we yield to God, there's going to be a testimony. There just will. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Goes on to say in verse 9, all of those things, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See, if I love you, let me tell you something, God's going to work. Well, I might cut you a little bit. But if this love of Christ is loving, it's not going to be long. We're going to be loving. Oh, we might fight a bit. The tightly fit, compacted, you know. But we love, and we love through. And you talk about, it's not family, it's God's family. When the love of Christ reigns, brothers and sisters, his mind takes over our actions. That's the truth. When the love of Christ reigns, his mind takes over our actions. His mind takes over our decisions. We don't make decisions in the natural anymore. We make decisions in the spiritual. We want to make strides, whether for my life or yours or my family's life, not for monetary gain, not to try to figure out what's going to be easier or more convenient. I'm hearing this a lot right now. It's expensive to live here. Oh, pot's rampant here. Let me tell you something, pot's rampant everywhere. Stop it. God showed us. I go right back to it every single time. He plucked Joseph out of the most godly homeschooled home and he shoved him in the heart of Babylon. And he says, watch me. I'm going to raise up the men of men of God. I'm going to show you what God does, not what man devises or what you think you need. You need to make strides for truth and more truth. And I thank God, see, when that mind takes over our actions, it causes us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Verse 10, love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? When Christ's love empowers us, everything else in our life is an extension of Him performing it in us. That's what I want my life motivated by, is the love of Christ. If I go out to do anything in my thought or my actions, it's worthless. That was of me. That was of that merit. By the grace of God, I want to be motivated by the love of God. Love will motivate you through. You will not feel like something, but love will make you feel like something. Love will cause you to move and to do things you'd never do. When you're tired, love will cause you to want to come to church. Amen? Oh, yeah. Praise God. It's not just guilt no more. I love you, Jesus. I just want to be around your body. I want to hear, praise God, with the body of Christ, more and more about you. But see, what it's getting at is here, the only debt we have is to love. Because of the great love wherewith we are loved. How could we not? We're just vessels of love. We should be a sea, a bastion of love. All that love that's been poured into you, don't just lock it up there by the grace of God. Be that Sea of Galilee, amen, that's teeming with life, that has all them fishes, that has that abundance of fruit, because the water continually comes in and the water continually goes out. There's many stagnant things that you see. Water runs in that Dead Sea, but it don't come out. All these different bodies of water, rain will flow in there and all these things, but it's trapped and it doesn't come out. Now let me tell you something. Those are ones that, and I'm so sad to say it, I know people that really know this truth, that have really went after to know the truth. But I'll tell you what, there isn't one squeak, a bit of love ever being lit out of that reservoir. And it gets stinky. It's stagnant. There's no fruit in there. It's cold and judgment and ucky looking. I just am telling you how it is. But that's what God shows us here. But see, when that love reigns, we begin to get filled with all the fullness of God. And you know what God is? He's love. And that is truly what this is about. For God so loved the world, He gave. That's everything about the plan of God. He gave it all. Because of love, He gave you Jesus. And that reciprocated love in that immensity, because He said you can know it, you can have it. That's who's going to reign in that fullness of glory with Him. It's that one that has taken that love to love it right back to Him. Praise God. And I thank the Lord. I believe Him for that. I'm not comparing anything, because there's nothing to compare it to, because it's the same love. How could you compare something that's the same? You can't. It's just what it is. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's nothing to compare. It's Him. It's not what He would do. He does. Amen. Amen. Believe Him. He's told you these things. Believe Him. Now, here's what goes on. If it's true love, you love. But when it's not, it's going to work ill. See, His love does not work ill. I want to talk about that for a moment. This ill means to injure. This ill means destructive. The love of God is not destructive. The love of God is not troublesome. That's what this ill means. So we see here that love worketh no ill. If your life is working injury and troublesome things, if your life is working destructive things, that's not the love of God. And I'm very sad because I know too many Christians that this is their life. And it's getting worse. It's often disguised in phrases that you'll hear. Well, I'm just being honest. You'll hear people like that. Well, that's my opinion. They'll say, well, I don't like this about you, or I don't like that. Well, I'm going to tell you the word of his grace here, and you best wake up. You best arise from that. By the grace of God, we get into that kind of hypocrisy. That's a sickness. Jealousy is crueler than the grave. When you're beginning to speak cruel things to Christians, you're sick. There is a sickness in your life. Bible tells us, as I just said, jealousy is crueler than the grave. It could be spite. It could be bitterness. It could be a lot of things. But the shame is Jesus Christ loves you so much. Why would you cast the high calling of God in Christ Jesus aside? Now, here's what we could ask one another. Should we not love those that are in love with the truth? Amen? Do you think we should love one another? Should we not, praise God, love those that are standing for the gospel of the glory? These are just obvious things. But see, when the enemy gets in and you let him get in, you'll be insane. Ask Nebuchadnezzar. No, I'm not kidding you. You'll devour the people that love you. You'll devour the things that are your life. And it's tragic. Brothers and sisters, we should highly esteem one another, and especially them that preach the word of God. I'm not saying that for me. I'm saying that for you. I'm saying that for us by the grace of God. Because love, as it's saying here, see, love completes, it fulfills, and it fully matures the spirit of life of Christ in you. That's the evidence. That's the lover. Think about the maturity of love even in the natural, in a person. It starts out, you start out this infant, and that infant immediately begins to learn to love. Loves that mom. Loves that mom feeds me. Love that daddy's always in my face saying da 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 da, you know, and you love that, and you find brothers and sisters that tease you a little bit, but you got to grow a little bit more, and you realize, hey, he kind of still loves me even though he bothers me, but you love the family, and then you begin to have friends, and you love, and that's a life that grows. See, that's the problem with many, not just of children, but even adults. The sickness that we have in this world is the lack of love. Well, but there's only one place for love, and that's Jesus. When you cut out the Lord, there ain't no love. There's no love. Oh, no. When you remove God, you've removed love. Because God is love. Nothing else is love. We can have actions. We can have all of these things. But that's something that is not the true, let's put it that way. But here we go. We need to love. And we need to love one another fervently. Now, why is this chapter, why did it start out like it did? I love the Lord. I love his mind. I love his ways. He's encouraging us, and he's encouraging us in all these things. But he always is getting back to what he wants. I mean, he wants all this. But he wants you, and he wants you to fall in love with him like he's in love with you. And so he's speaking about this love. And the reason he is, because in a few moments here, he's going to focus on the one thing to be ready for, which is the first trump. He's telling us right now, you best love, because that love is what keeps you alive and quickened as bridal saints. And you must be found in perfect, complete first love, or you're going to miss this. As he said to the church at Ephesus, there were so many wondrous things of faith and truth and gathering and going to church and standing for the things of God and all the wonderful ministry that came through those saints. But he said, I have one thing against you. You left your first love. And that's all this thing is about. It's about the goodly pearl. This church age is about one thing. Truly is. The focus is one. That Christ Jesus is going to have a bride, a wife. And he wants us for that. And everything is funneling. The word of God, it's pressing into that mark for the prize. For the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it is a narrow way. It's a way of only first love. Isn't that beautiful? It's a way of first love. And the first love that I know that he has for me, he loves me first. He loves me in that passion. And all he wants me to do is to respond to it and say, oh, I receive it. And I want that with you. Oh, I know I'm just a man, but you love me. You love me like this. This is what you've made me for. You've made me this vessel of mercy to bestow the riches of your glory upon me for you. To have me presented to you as your glory, your crowning. Oh, thank you, Lord. I was thinking about the ark. Oh, my, for Sunday. How precious it is. You got that ark, and there it is. The ark they brought in, the presence of God. Oh, my. You know, they try to catch that ark from falling, they'd be dead. You didn't mess with that ark. But there was a glory on the ark. There was a crowning on the ark. Those cherubim that came out of the mercy seat, the very glory, the crowning of the ark, the presence of God has a crowning. Oh, my Lord, constrain me. But it's true. So this is where we're going to conclude here. Here is why it is so crucial to submit and to thank him, praise him for his mercy. To thank him and praise him for his grace. When that happens, love reigns in you. When you're not altogether lovely, you're not thankful. And you're not thankful for mercy and grace. Not that you're not thankful because you're not like the other guy. Oh, I'm thankful that I, you know, we should be thankful for all things. Don't get me wrong. But this is about the thankfulness for mercy and grace. And in that love that's reigning because of that, you'll break up the fallow ground. That'll break it up. You'll allow that to work in you. It'll break the pride, the hardness, the stiff neck. And the reason is, and the Lord is saying this, is because the time of his coming is now. See, the time of his coming, we're going to read something here. It's unfolding. It's present now. You best realize what he's going to say here. And let's read it. Verse 11. Let's go ahead. Yeah, let's read 11 through 14. Now listen to this. And that, knowing the time that now, it is high time. See, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. And now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. There's an urgency here, isn't there? The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Praise the Lord. That's some good stuff. And I love how he begins it again in verse 11. We know. no. Isn't that beautiful? He doesn't talk down to you. He's merciful. He's gracious. He talks with us. This is fellowship. Hey, honeys, we know. We know this. Amen? And praise God, we cannot neglect so great salvation. And the time is about to be no more. And I love how it says right here, that very first now, it's not like the second now. The first now is very special in its meaning. That now actually means already, really literally here upon us, breaking forth, knowing that time is now. And he calls that time not just a time, but he calls it the high time. And that high time is a very specific time. It means literally the hour, the point of time of all ages. And I'll insert this in because it's evident. It's the moment his bride will light off the camel right into his arms. That's the high time. And that is the height, praise God, of the high calling time, the height of his glory time. Now, and what does he tell us here? It's high time to awaken out of sleep. You can't even have by the grace of God one eye to slumber. A little folding of the hands and it's gone. This brings us right back into the truth of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's go back over there and read the encouragement through the Apostle Paul, through that one that was given the dispensation, that wonderful, wonderful message of the mystery of Christ Jesus in the church. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1, it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly." See, this isn't something that you're guessing at. You know perfectly, exactly, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, here we are not in darkness, that that day, that hour, should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light. And know this, that word children, that word there is huios, and that is the word for mature sons. The mature sons are the sons of light, and they are the sons of the day. And we are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us, and Paul throws himself right into that, doesn't he? He doesn't say, don't let you. He says, don't let us. Because we're the huios sons. We're the sons of glory. We're the sons, praise God, of the height. But ye are the children, hallelujah, the sons of that light. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Isn't that beautiful? See, he doesn't just say faith. It's got to be faith and love. Oh, my. See, that puts us right in harmony with our Romans 13 tonight, isn't it? See, the love and the loving thy neighbor, that's the fulfilling of the law. You can know all mysteries and have not love, don't profit you a thing. You could move all mountains with that faith, couldn't you? Mountain be removed, you don't have love, it doesn't profit you a thing. All right. So you put on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And here it is. For God hath not appointed us, Paul including himself, to wrath. Now we know that Paul is not speaking here, that he's speaking of being ready in the day. He's speaking here of being ready for a moment. Amen? This high time, this moment, this hour. So we know that he's not talking about this wrath of hell. And matter of fact, we know this because this word wrath means the tribulation. So these Huios sons, these sons of glory, these sons that know the whole high calling of God in Christ Jesus, are not appointed to the tribulation. You weren't appointed to go into that, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, when he tells you that you're not appointed to go into the tribulation, but you're appointed to salvation, you can figure that out real easy, can't you? You're not appointed to go into that tribulation. You're appointed to be saved from it. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is marvelous. So see, we are not made to go into the tribulation. That's not what we're for. We're vessels of mercy. And vessels of mercy now are bestowed with the riches of bridal glory. I was thinking about that. How beautiful. There was Rebecca at the well. She heard the proposal, right? He gets all, and what happened right there? He put on the golden bracelets and he gave her the golden earrings. He gave her, praise God, all of that jewelry of marriage. They were put on her right from the start. She was arraigned with that. That's all that the Holy Ghost saw as she took that message. It arraigned her right there with all the beauty of the jewelry of the bride. Oh, I love that. That's what's going on right now. You don't realize what kind of bling you got on. So you see, it's not just a stir, but it's time to awake. Awake. Awake to this. Don't just let it stir you. Oh, that's nice. You know, you can get stirred in the morning. You roll over and go back to sleep. This is to jump out of bed. This is a fire alarm. This is to arise and awake and stand and to be watching. To take watch. To look and to love his appearing. The word says here, it's nearer than when we believed. That also means it's nearer than we believe. It's the truth. It's nearer than you even believe. Don't put it off. Remember what this awakening entails. How we got here. Love one another. Think of that. That church of Ephesus, you left your first love. They got busy in things. They got busy in church. They fell out of love because they were in love. And that means first love for the head and the body. Don't be sleeping. Don't be in unlove. Don't be withdrawing from gathering and hearing the truth. But put on, this is so beautiful as we end this tonight, that word, the words armor of light, prepared with star power understanding. The armor of light. Prepared with star power understanding. You're prepared with it. You're not getting prepared. See, Paul's gospel is prepared with sun glory understanding. That's that star. Yeah, praise God. And you know. I know grace. See, I know grace. I know that grace. And oh, hallelujah, I know that grace. And then verse 13 is such an extension, an expectation of the mature sons. I love this. See, brothers and sisters, this is what that all-powerful life of Christ in you does. And this is how it transforms you from glory to glory into his very image. But it says there, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, not in chambering, wantonness, not in strife and envying. This isn't something I'm trying to do by the grace of God. This is the testimony of his unmerited love that I begin to praise him for in my life. This is the tenderness that comes into me, praise God, as I allow his love to reign. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We are kings, and by the grace of God, to reign like kings now, to care for your brother and sister in Christ and their spiritual welfare. And I'm going to tell you something about spiritual welfare. Go back and listen to all them Gentile bride stories, and it will blow you away. Because it ain't what you're thinking here. Spiritual welfare, I'll tell you what, sometimes it don't look real pretty to the eye. I was visiting with a brother today, and I know he loves the Lord, going through a hard time, and very difficult time right now. But I reminded him how even in this, and truly an ugly thing, God is awakening the person that's involved in this with him into bridal truth that has never been compared. Sometimes there are things that come about that you don't understand how good God is and still uses it for spiritual welfare. But here's the answer to it all as we end tonight. This is how it happens. Verse 14. Sink into Jesus. That's what put on means. Sink in. Just sink in. He didn't say have him sink into you. You sink into him. Isn't that beautiful? That means you lose yourself in him. You disappear just like transparent. Amen? Praise God. I love that. You know one thing I love? I love people saying, and I know people that love me, I never thought God would do that in your life. That doesn't hurt my feelings. That doesn't. And I thank the Lord for ones that said, you know, that was really hard for me. That's okay. It was hard for me too. I'm talking about you, not me. No, I'm just kidding. But then you know it's God. When God can take Gideon and do with what he did with him. When God can take Tamar. Huh? When God can take Rahab. When God can take a Saul and make him a Paul. That's okay with me. But you lose yourself in him. You launch out into the depths. And it's all by grace through faith. Begin to really believe, brothers and sisters, more and more all the time. He lives in me. He lives in me. He's the only life that lives in me. Feed that life. Praise him for it. Arise, stand, grow in the confidence of the sun glory life. Huey, oh sons, mature sons, praise God, stand up, awaken to that. The continued quickening. And you know what that entails? Exactly what's going on here tonight. I commend you, brethren. We've gathered for a Bible study. Sunday's great. Wednesday's even better. Friday night is over the top. But you need them all. And then you go home and you study and you pray and you worship. And you know what? You pray in the Holy Ghost. And then what happens is all that love shed abroad fills you so much with all the fullness of God. You know what happens? You don't have much time or much room for that flesh to be pleased. And all that happens is you want to please the Lord. And thanks be to God tonight. You know what? We're pleasing the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I'll tell you what, he gave us a lot of faith tonight because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise his name.